I'm so excited tonight to share about missions, what I'm doing in Mozambique, and yeah, just to share what God's doing. I don't know how many of you guys heard my testimony before I left. I spoke and just shared kind of a little bit about my journey of how I was going and things that I had previously done. Was anyone there that remembers that? Allie? Yeah, so I shared a little bit just what I'd been doing previously. I had been serving in Zambia, and when I got back from Zambia, I wanted to serve again in missions, but I wasn't really sure where or with who. And so really from LifePoint, I met people from OMS and then got connected with OMS. And I actually originally was planning to go to Brazil and had been trying for, I think it was like a year or maybe just over a year to get my visa to Brazil, and it just wasn't working out. So all that time I was preparing to go to Brazil, so I was learning about their culture, I was learning Portuguese, and then plans fell through and I wasn't able to go to Brazil. And so I started praying because I was feeling, okay, I know you're calling me to missions, but where? And OMS was like, why didn't we think of sending you to Mozambique before? Because they speak Portuguese there, it's right next to Zambia, you're kind of aware of the culture there, and there was a lot of the same opportunities in Mozambique is the same as what I was doing in Zambia and also Brazil, so it just worked out. And when I started preparing to go to Mozambique, things were just super quick. I got my visa really quickly, I met with the team and connected really well, and just everything fell into place. So super blessed to be there. I'm really loving it there. The team is great. I'm going to show you some pictures and just tell you a little bit about the ministry, and then, yeah, just talk a little bit about missions. So I got there in February last year, and the seasons are flipped. So in February, it's summer. Right now, it's summer. And it's also rainy season there. So this first picture, I just had a few pictures of just to give you guys an idea of what it looks like in Mozambique. Yeah, it's not fun driving in the rainy season because you get stuck a lot. So this is just a picture. We were just on our way, and there were so many cars that were getting stuck in this. And so people, thankfully, will help out, and they'll go get rocks and try to put rocks underneath your car so that you can move through. But yeah, it's sometimes a hassle, and we've gotten stuck a few times. There's that. Oops, I went the wrong way. That's not from Mozambique. There we go. Yeah, that was on the other side of the street. I don't know if this one doesn't have sound, but this, it will have sound. That no sound in that. That's just a little bit of view. Yeah. Yeah, and you do drive on the opposite side of the road, which always gets me confused with the turn signals. So then I always hit the windshield wipers, and now it's flipped, and I'm doing that here. Yeah, so that was us. We were on our way to the church, and we got to this road, and it's just like a lake, right? And so we're like, we have to get through that to get to church. We did make it, but then the next time that we went out, we did not. There were ducks, though, on the second time we went out, and I feel like if there's ducks, you shouldn't go. It's too deep. Yeah, so this is, it's kind of harder to see because it's dark, but this is a house that we were able to give to this woman. She has a disability. She's paralyzed, and she has a young daughter, and her daughter pretty much full-time takes care of her mom. And they were living in this really, really bad conditions, really far out from anything, so they weren't able to go to church. They really weren't able to have a community around to help them. So it was through donors and missionaries that were able to build this house for them. And so this was them on their first day moving in. Yeah, you can't really see them. There's me sitting there, and then there's these two ladies. And unfortunately, 2 days ago, this lady, she passed away. And so this was in February, I think the end of February. But yeah, she was in really poor health, and so she just passed away 2 days ago. So I put this up there just to have you guys remember her daughter in prayer. She's about 14 years old, and she doesn't have any relatives or anything like that. And yeah, she's been spending her life taking care of her mom because, her mom didn't have anyone else. So just be praying for her. She doesn't really have a lot of opportunities, and we don't know what's going to happen with her, so just be praying for her. Her name's Carol. Mm-hmm. So one of the main things that I do is I teach at a school. OMS founded this school about 20 years ago, and it started out as a school for missionary kids. And since then has developed, there's not very many just missionary kids anymore. It's mostly Mozambicans, and it's about, I'd say, like 150 kids that go there. And so I realized I don't have a lot of pictures of the kids from school because when I'm there, I'm mostly teaching, so I don't really take pictures. This is the one picture that I have. This is actually from a video of the kids singing, and so these are just a few of the kids. But yeah, at the school, I get to teach music, which is so fun. And they didn't have a music teacher before I came, and so the kids love music classes. They adore it. And then I get to do Bible classes as well, which is really great with the high schoolers. And then I help out with soccer and then chapel and worship and things like that. And so the school is right on campus from where I live, and so it's really convenient. I just get to walk to the school every day and teach, and it's really fun to be with these kids. Yeah, these are some of the boys from our community soccer team. So this is some boys. The school, really, a lot of the kids that go to school are not from our community. So they're from further out in the city, and they actually get bused in. So we kind of want to do something more with the people in our community and outreach to them. And so one of the missionaries, he started this boys' soccer team about 5 years ago, and so they've been playing since then. They're kind of getting older. They're really great soccer players, and through this outreach program, they've been able to be discipled in the Word, and so they do devotionals together and Bible studies, and then they also get to come together and play soccer a few times a week, and they're just incredible, and they're really fun to work with. We had a little small tournament. Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and it's really neat. I sent a little story about one of these kids in one of my update letters, but something else that they used to do, and I talked about this on Sunday today when I was speaking, the missionaries there, they used to do a community outreach day. And so missionaries that came, they're Brazilian, they came to the mission field about 10 years ago, and they started doing a community day, and so they would have... They would open up our gates because we have a compound area where the school is and where our houses are. So they would open up the gates once a week, let in all the community kids, which is a lot of kids because when you open it up to like free food and games and fun, a lot of these kids don't have lots of things to do, so they come flooding in and it's a lot of work. Yeah, they would do Bible stories with them. They would do games, sing songs, do small groups. And they did that for a few years, and it's a lot of work, and it's frustrating when you have a lot of crazy kids that don't listen. It's hard to keep control, and so they did that for a few years. They've since now moved on to village ministry, but it's just so neat to see how that had an impact on the community, because these kids that are on the soccer team, they used to come to the kids' day when they were small. And one of the kids on the team, he is, every time after practice, he's always the one that is calling the other boys to be respectful and pay attention when we're reading the Word. He's always the one that wants to volunteer to pray at the end, very respectful, and just loves the Lord. He is so great with scripture memory, things like this. And yeah, he came up one day and was talking to this girl that she had helped her parents with this ministry. She was there helping the soccer practice one day, and he came up to her and he was saying, "You don't know what an impact that community day had on my life." He's like, "I didn't know anything about God. And when you guys started opening up the gates," he's like, "that's when I first learned about God. That's when I first learned how to pray. That's when I learned about the gospel." He's like, "that changed my whole life." And so it's just incredible to think, like, she was just telling me a couple of days before that, she's like, "we did all this work, and sometimes you just don't know, you know, like, what impact that has." And so it's really incredible to see how many people were impacted by that, and just simple things. It's like 1 hour, one day a week, and just the difference that can have. So that's the boys' team. This is some of the work that I do with the church. There's about 10 churches in the area that OMS started. And I'm trying to think how many people we have on our team. We have probably about 6 different churches that we all regularly attend, the missionaries there. So we go to separate churches, that way we can spread out the help that we can have there. And so the church that I go to is one of the bigger churches. And so they have a lot of kids in that area. So we have a kids program, an adolescence program. So I think adolescence is like 12 to about 16, and then Jovens, which is such a random age, it's like 16 to 35. So I don't know how they came up with that, but everyone agrees like that's the age range. So we have three different programs, and I mainly help with the adolescents group. And so, but this is from a children's day. And so whenever we have these kind of events, we always try to break up into small groups because there's a lot, I think the next picture will have, there's a lot of kids that come. And so we try to break up into small groups because you don't know how much, you know, they're understanding. And so we want a little bit of a chance to break up and tell them more about God. So, yeah, whenever we have these events, there's so many kids that come in. And you never know how many are going to come, so you just have to plan for a lot. So we do a lot of scripture memory with the kids. They are so good at scripture memory. They really, it's astounding how fast they can memorize stuff. And every week we have a new verse for them, and it's rare that one of them comes in and doesn't have it memorized. Super talented with that. And means a lot because a lot of them can't read really well. And so to be able to memorize the scripture and have the word hidden in their heart is just really special. I don't remember if I mentioned, yeah, I think I did. They speak Portuguese there. And so when I'm in like a room like this and it's super echoey, it's sometimes challenging to hear what's going on. It all kind of like blends together. But I'll show some pictures from one of the other churches in a little bit. And it's a smaller one. And whenever I'm in that one, I'm like, oh, I can finally hear what they're saying. So this is one of the small groups with the adolescents. And that's, I think, the smaller group that we have. And they're really, really faithful about coming each week, bringing friends, scripture memory. And so this group of kids that we have right here, it's just really exciting how invested they are in the word and invested they are into prayer and scripture memory and just growing in Christ. So I love working with them. This is a week that we had, or sorry, we had a month of this, but we had Missions Emphasis Month. It was really neat because we talked about missions and we had different missionaries from our team come and share, and they were really excited about it. They, I think they mainly focused on the U.S., Brazil, and then Mozambique, and then a few other. But that was really exciting for them. And it's interesting to me because a lot of them are saying, like, they're like, we want to be missionaries. And not just to another country. They're like, we want to be missionaries to even just Mozambique. Mozambique's really big. And so there's a few people from the church that we've sent out to other areas in Mozambique. And so it's really exciting that kids so young are excited about serving the Lord. So there's the wall, that, and they made all those flags out of paper. They took a while on that one. This one's the Jovens group. So that's the age range that is just pretty wide. But it's really nice because in this Bible study, it's not so much a leading thing as much as a small group. Almost we come alongside and different people share each week and they bring. So we're going over Mark right now. And each week someone will have some main points on the chapter of Mark that we're going over. And then other people get a chance to share because we're all supposed to be doing this together. So it's really a great group. So that's them. And the other thing that they're really great at is evangelism. And so normally I'd say once every 2 months, we'll have an evangelism day where we will go out in the area around the church and talk to people about Christ, share the good news, and then invite them to come to church. And so again, it's really exciting to see how passionate they are about those things. And they lead a lot of these things. And so it's nice to, I guess, just come alongside and be a part of it. This is one of our smaller churches. We were digging up a bunch of bushes to build a wall around this. church, and it took a couple months for us to get this done, but just the gratitude that this church had. This is a mostly women's church. This area, a lot of the men have a lot of drinking problems and gambling problems, and so really in this area, I would say this church is 95% women. There's probably one guy that sometimes comes, but really it's just women. And it's hard. They don't have anyone to lead the church there, so the missionaries kind of rotate going and sharing things at this church, and then other pastors from some of the other churches will come and take turns teaching at this church because they're so hungry for the word. And these women are so dedicated to God. But yeah, it's a difficult, there a lot of them in a really difficult situations, and a lot of them with like abusive husbands that drink, and so it's a difficult thing. But they were so grateful for the work that we were able to do for this church. Really, it was the other churches that come alongside and help, which is really neat because there's 10 churches that were planted there, but they all help each other. And so it's not just that church is there, like it's a community. And so that's really cool to see how the churches come alongside each other. And so they really do function as the body of Christ. So that's us digging up the bushes. It was crazy. These women, this guy over here, he's one of the pastors from the other church, but these women, they did this so crazy fast. They had like machetes and stuff. They were going, it was incredible to see how fast they could do this. And it was just a special time. There's us, we're cooking a meal. I'm not doing anything, obviously, just sitting, but they were cooking a meal. It's great. This was the Sunday after we had finished building the wall around the church. They were just so excited about it. So we had like a special Sunday for that. And we were presenting, these guys came, they're not part of the church, but they came to help make the concrete blocks. And so they were presenting them with Bibles and just honoring them. It's not really a great area in the church, and it's kind of right alongside all these other houses. So it kind of gives them, I don't know, just their own area, really. And you can see, like, the church is just like this straw thing, right? A lot of the other churches actually are concrete, and they have more things about them. And I think this made them feel more of like, okay, this is like we're actually building something here. And they're planning to expand from that and build concrete for the actual building, but it was a really special thing for them, which is, it's weird, you're like, okay, it's just a wall, but like, this was something that for years they had been wanting to do, and now people can see it, and they're like, oh, what's that place, and it's like, no, that's the church, and they had this sign that's in the background there, and that's another thing that they're really excited about. They're like, now people know, like, this is a church, it's not us just meeting in this little hut, and so it was an exciting time for them. Yeah, so they sing normally in Shangana there, and so in the churches, normally most services will have someone preaching in most of the time Portuguese, but then they'll also translate to Shangana because a lot of the older people in the church, they don't speak Portuguese. And most of the songs, I would say, are in Shangana. And like this church, we don't sing any songs in Portuguese. And so this, the one that they were putting the capelana around, that is Monica. She's a Brazilian missionary, and she had been helping the women there. She's been leading a Bible study there for the women, and they were just so grateful. And it was a really cool day because after that, we shared a meal together, and some of the women sat down and were telling me the things that they had learned about God and the things that had been changing their life. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting was this woman was telling me about how she didn't know that it was wrong to lie. And she's like, I lie all the time. She was telling me all these times that she lied, and she thought it was fine. And so she was saying just simple things that she's been learning in the Bible study that had been changing her life. And so it was really, really neat to see how much these women have appreciated Monica coming and teaching this Bible study. And I think they were going to take a week or two break between the next Bible study, and they're like, we don't want to take a break. We want to just keep going. And so it's really exciting to see that and just how God's working in that church, in that area. So, yeah, the other thing that I want to talk about is the village ministry. And some of my neighbors, this is what they do full time. They do village ministry, and they work in a village about 4 hours from where we live. Honestly, it's not really that far, but it's a really difficult journey to get there. You have to drive through, these are sugarcane fields, and it, especially in the rainy season, super muddy and just driving so slow, and sometimes people get stuck. And so they take that trip so often because they'll go there for 2 weeks and then come back and be ministering in Maputo for 1 week, then go back 2 weeks. And so that's their whole life, is just traveling between these different villages. And so it's really neat to see. I got to go with them a few times, and it's really cool to see their ministry there. It's not an easy trip. And then they camp there. So they have to come back, and in that week that they're there, they're ministering, but they're also preparing to go back again. So they have to bring back all their food. They usually clean their tent and do stuff like that, do their laundry, and then just head back. And so they're so dedicated to this, and it's really cool that I was able to go with them, I think, 4 times. And this is the second half of the journey. Once you pass the sugarcane fields, you just are on sand like this for about an hour. So they actually get out and they deflate their tires a little bit so that they don't veer off the road. It's a long trip out. But here's the area that we teach in. And it's really special. Paulo and Fernanda have been missionaries there for 10 years now. And they've been learning Shangana this whole time. So they're able to pretty much teach the whole Bible study in Shangana. They do have a translator there for help when they get stuck. But it's just really neat how much even just that has built relationships with people in this village. I think it took them 2 or 3, 4, something, some crazy amount of years to actually build up a relationship with this village to be able to teach a Bible study there. Because they had been going to this area and visiting people, trying to start teaching a Bible study, but you have to get permission from the chiefs in the area. And so it took a really long time for them to build a relationship with them. And wow, it's just so encouraging to see the perseverance that they had there, because it's not easy to be going and feeling like you're not really accomplishing anything, right? You're going for years just visiting. They're not even teaching a Bible study. They're not able to do the things that they wanted to. But just the perseverance that they had to keep building relationships. And now, wow, it's crazy to see how what an effect they're having on this whole village. There, again, in this village, there's a lot of problems with drinking and drugs and gambling again. And so yeah, there's a lot of problems to sort through, but they've been making so much of an impact there. So this is the room that they teach the Bible study in. This is Paulo teaching. This is the tent, so that's where I was staying for the 2 weeks each time that I go. And one of the times that I was there, it was, I don't even think it was rainy season, I don't know why it was raining. Pouring down rain the whole night, just pouring rain. We thought my tent was gonna get it washed away. We could hear the water running underneath my tent and over. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna get washed out. We're not far from the ocean, so I was like, okay, well, fun. But yeah, I really love being there and just having that opportunity. And I stayed dry. Like, that tent, it doesn't look like much, but it's a hefty tent. So this is our campgrounds. It looks like he's just whittling wood, but that was our dinner. This is at the top of the dune. So we camp actually down below this dune, but it's so beautiful there. So this is pretty far out from everything. Once you're up there, you don't really see anyone. There's a few people here and there, but yeah, super beautiful. Oh, this is Paulo teaching.
E explicação para qualquer dúvida que tem.
Então, está segurando a mão, o colar, levando o colar e o rumo setana, o colar um ano, um galeca, a chibutiço, calife, a lapidonza, areias.
Mas nós vamos fazer isso de uma forma bem organizada.
Então nós vamos. And it's crazy to see how long these Bible studies go for. So it's not, it's light there, but by the time that they end, it's already been dark for like 2 hours. And they're always, never fails. This bat will come in this room and just like be circling around. There's mosquitoes everywhere. Like people will be using those folders to like smack the mosquitoes. But they stay there and they want to learn. And then he'll ask at the end, does anyone have questions? You'd think they'd be like, let's just get out of here quickly. We've been sitting here for hours. But no, they're all asking questions. And strange questions, but like they all want to ask their questions and just keep learning. So it's really incredible. This is a wedding, so I just thought this is from the church that I go to. Yeah, so that's just a little glance of life in Mozambique. And yeah, I'm just so thankful to be there. I have a great team there. And there's, as you can see, so many opportunities. It's been such a blessing for me to be there this past year. And since I was really settling in, learning the language and stuff, while I was doing my own things, I also got to come alongside and see all the different ministries that are there. They have work in the school, of course, in the villages. They work at a seminary. And then there's a disabilities ministry called Helping Hands. So there's just so many things to be a part of, and it was such a blessing to not just be involved in my things, but then to get to see what everyone else is doing. And so it's interesting. I was telling AG the other day that our team has such diverse things going on, but it's just such a blessing that we all are unified in Christ. And so it's not as if I don't know what's going on in all these other missionaries' life because they're doing such different things than I am. Like, everyone's aware of what everyone else is doing. Everyone's willing to help each other. We get together once a week, and we have a prayer time where we'll share what's going on in the ministries, and we'll pray for each other. And so everyone is so good about being unified in Christ. And so it's not just you doing your own thing. It's everyone working together, even though we have different abilities and different giftings and different jobs. But it's really cool to see that happen. And yeah, for just a little bit, I wanted to talk. I know I don't have a ton of time, so I just want to talk really quick about just commitment. Because I feel like it's just interesting to see there are so many opportunities around us, and it's interesting that I feel like this is becoming a bigger and bigger problem for especially the youth now of just committing to things. Just want to ask a question, but like even events that are happening, fun things to do, does anyone here like have problems committing to just simple things? So everyone else is great at commitment. Okay, so for the few people that were saying that it is hard to commit, what are some of the reasons, like, why is it hard for you to commit? Yeah, anyone else have a reason why it's hard to commit to stuff? Physical. Anyone else? So what does that mean? That's a good point, too, because I think that's probably one of the things that really it makes it hard for us to commit to things. We're kind of sometimes, although we may not want to admit it, we're kind of waiting for something better to come along. Like, you don't want to commit to those things. You're like, maybe something more fun is going to happen. And if I commit to that, then, like, when this more fun thing happens, like, I can't be involved in it. And so I was really excited to hear about the trip to Uganda. That's coming. It's in June, right? How many of you guys are signed up to go to Uganda? Was it hard for any of you guys to commit to that trip? That's really good to hear. I'm really glad to hear that. How many of you guys thought about going and then couldn't commit to it? Thanks. I feel like commitment is really hard because if you commit to something, right, you are automatically saying no to other things. Once you commit to something, like, you're having to give up other things, and that's really hard. Definitely, it's like, when I agreed to go to Mozambique and do missions, that's me agreeing to give up things, right? My life here, time with family, friends, church, opportunities that I have here. And so that's kind of an obvious it's a clear choice, right? But there's other things that are not so clear in your guys' life. When you commit to something, you automatically have to give up to stuff. Do you guys still do prayer meetings in the morning? Was that because of commitment? Okay. So some of these things, right? If you're committed to going to the prayer meetings in the morning, that means that you have to make yourself get up every morning, right? So you're committing to prayer meeting, but you're also giving up more sleep, right? Or giving up, I think it's just more sleep, right? Who has stuff that's going on like at 6 in the morning? Okay, swim maybe. Callie, I know you work in the morning. But there's certain things where it's like, you could give this up, right? But it's really difficult to give it up because, let's be honest, most of the time you just don't want to, right? It's kind of safer to hold on to my own desires than for me to give this up. And I appreciate what you had said earlier about praying, because that's something I feel like we don't do. I'm not just talking about the prayer meeting in the morning, but that could also be your own personal prayer time, right? How many of you guys are really committed to praying consistently, daily? It's not an easy thing to do, to commit to that daily and really be faithful about it. How many of you guys are really committed to reading the Word every day? So great. But that's not easy, right? How many people struggle with finding the time or making the time to pray and read your Bible every day? I definitely do. And it's hard. Sometimes if you wait till the end of the day to do it, you know, you're tired, you can make excuses. If you have to get up early to do it, say some days you're really tired, you don't want to, you can make excuses again. So it's really, really difficult to commit to things. But, okay, say you want to get really good at something, you have to invest time in it, right? How many of you guys play an instrument? You have to dedicate time to that, right? Do you guys practice daily? Some yes, some no. What about sports? For sports, right, you have to practice and you have to be committed to that, right? How many of you guys are in sports? And you take time out of your day to do that, right? Or a week, I guess. I don't know if you do it every day. What about running? Who runs? Yeah, you have to be committed to that, right? That's not something that you can just decide, oh, I'm going to run like 5 miles every month or something, right? Like, that's not going to happen. You have to be committed to it. I think it's interesting because if we're always keeping our options open, then we're never actually really committing to do anything, right? We're keeping our options open for what, right? We don't commit to anything, and so therefore we're just leaving that time there to do nothing, right? And so I find it interesting that sometimes we even use God's will as an excuse not to do something. I don't know if you guys experienced this, but sometimes, you know, like if AJ was saying like, hey, there's this trip to Uganda coming up, who's wanting to do this? Some people could be like, I need to pray. I don't know if it's God's will for me, stuff like that. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray or to seek God's will. Like, that's a really good thing. But if you're using it as an excuse, which a lot of times we do, to not commit to something, then that can be kind of dangerous territory, right? And so there's so many times that I've heard that where it's like, oh, I'm not sure if that's God's will for my life. I need to pray about it more. And therefore, you don't ever really commit to doing it, right? And that's a difficult thing to admit to yourself. But I think it's really important because there are so many things and opportunities that you guys have in front of you that you could be reaching out to people, that you could be praying for people. There's so many ways that you can serve. And a lot of times you just aren't willing to put the commitment into it. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys today to be disciplined in committing to things. I'm going to skip through some of this because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to talk about something else too. Sometimes people don't want to commit to things because they feel like, okay, maybe I don't have the right giftings for this. Maybe I don't have the right talents for that. Does anyone ever feel that way? Like, I can't commit to this because I'm not ready for this. I've definitely had that happen all the time to me where I feel like, oh, maybe God, you want me to commit to this, but like, I don't think I'm ready. Maybe I need more training. Maybe I need more time. And so I won't commit to it in that way. And so, I just wanted to encourage you guys to remember that when you're committing to something in service to the Lord, it's not about how talented you are or what abilities you have. Like, God uses you where you're at, right? So if you're obedient to him and if he's calling you to do something, when you agree to do that, you're trusting in God that he's going to use it however he sees fit, right? Who knows the story about Jesus feeding the 5,000? Can someone give me a brief version of this story? Do you feel like that boy when, you know, they're like, we need to feed all these people, do you think he was like, oh, let me do it. I have all the, like, fish and bread you need. Definitely not, right? Even if you read that story, the disciples were like, I mean, this kid has, like, a couple fish and bread and that's it, but you can't do anything with that. And already you're making this judgment of, okay, I don't have enough. Like, I can't, how can I help? I don't even have the ability. I don't have the resources. Well, when you're doing it for God, right, this is who you're giving your service to. And so it's not so much about you. I think sometimes we're inwardly focused. We're thinking, like, it's about me. It's what I have to give. And if you're thinking that way, then you're already set to get the glory, right? Because when you do it, and if it's your abilities and your talents and your resources, then when it's accomplished, you think, like, wow, because I did have the talent, I did have the resources, and I did it. But if God uses you when you have nothing, right, who gets the glory for that? So I just think, I was reading that story earlier this week and just thinking about it in this way of, wow, this kid, he didn't have anything, but it was who he was giving it to, right? It wasn't what he had. It was the fact that he submitted to Jesus, and look what Jesus did with it. So that's something I want to encourage you in, of just thinking about your obedience towards God in that way, thinking like, okay, if I just commit this to God, he's going to do with it what he will, right? And I trust in him. And so there's just something incredible about trusting in God and seeing how he works through just obedience. God, he's not limited by our inabilities, and his will inevitably will happen, right? But what a privilege it is to be able to be a part of his plan, a part of his will, and a part of his work. I wanted to read something really quick. Yeah, it's from 1 Corinthians 3, it's 5 through 7. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, according to the grace which God has given you. And so, that was just so encouraging to me when I think about ministry, because I'm not loaded up with gifts. I don't have all the answers. I have what I have, right? But if God's called me, then I want to be obedient to him. And it's God that gives the increase. And so I want to keep encouraging you guys to be committed to the Lord. Don't be afraid to commit to things because you don't think you're able or because you want to save that time for yourself. Because all the things that we think we want and we desire, the things that God has in store for us are just so much more, so much more. And it's so worth giving that up. And for you to be able to see what God will do with the little that you have to offer, it's just incredible. And so I'm so blessed to be able to share this with you today, because really I just see it being in Mozambique as a privilege. I get to see God working and I get to be a part of that. And it's not like I have loads and loads of things to offer to God, but I do have obedience, and all of us have that, right? And especially here, there's so many opportunities to get involved in. You have no lack of need here. There are so many things that you could be involved in. Especially even prayerfully, like, that is so important. Find out the needs, pray for them, be committed to that. You don't even have to be in a group to do that. You can do that individually. And so there's so many things that you can be involved in. And so I just encourage you guys to submit yourselves to God, be obedient to his calling, and just trust in him to work with it what he will. So anyway, thank you so much. It's been just so great to share this with you.
All right, again, after your small group time is over later, if you have questions for Kara, please spend some time having some cookies, asking her questions about that. spend time, again, intentional time tonight in your small groups. Don't be rushed to get through them. For those of you that have parents that are picking you up right at 8 o'clock, we totally respect that. But I wanted to, there was a bunch of great stuff that Kara shared, and I just wanted to just give you something that just really stuck out in my mind. As I didn't actually know she was even going to land on the whole commitment thing, but it ties so well together. Did you guys catch what she said when they had these community days, right? They open up the gate, and all the children come flooding in. But leading up to it, they're thinking, man, it's so much work for just 1 hour. But then you see later the impact that it's having, right? So you never know the impact, even though it feels like a lot of work. And so I was thinking about this in my own mind. 1 hour, one day a week, right? Think about giving, open up the gates to God, right? Open up the gate. 1 hour, one day a week, or 1 hour a week. Let's just go with that. That's 10 minutes a day, 6 days a week. I want to challenge you guys to open up those gates and see what God can do. Allow him to see what kind of the impact God can have in your life. If you will commit to 5 minutes of prayer, 5 minutes of reading God's word. I've given you guys a reading plan. Many of you guys are doing other reading plans. Spend the time with God, because you have no idea what the impact God can have, what he can do with if you'll just commit to it, right? You can take these two fish and a few loaves of bread and turn them into something magnificent. I want to just read to you again with the idea of gates. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter in by that gate that is wide that leads to destruction, there's a lot of them. It's many. For the gate that is narrow is the way that is hard. But that gate leads to life. And those who find it are few. So I want to encourage you guys to be a part of the few. Do the hard things. Commit to things. Commit to saying, okay, I'm going to do this 10 minutes a day at least. I'm going to pray to the Lord. I'm going to read God's word. And I'm going to say, Lord, what can you do with it? He will transform your life. Even if you don't know the Lord yet, and you're searching, and you're trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing, it's a great place to start. Say, Lord, I don't know. Help me. Help me in reading your word today to experience who you are, and will you open my eyes to the truth of who you are? It's going to do amazing things through that. So, guys, go to small groups. Have a great time. Talking about getting caught up, but also challenging each other to grow this year. And again, we'll have cookies in the cafe.